to each station.
Okay. Good morning. We're holding today the Perek Lamed Daled of the Tiferes Yisrael. Continuing along with Maamar Har Sinai and the discussion which the Maharal is going to be the aspect of Maamar Har Sinai which Maharal is going to be analyzing today is famous Mechilta that speaks about how the Aseres Hadibres were presented. The pasuk says, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu Vayedaber Kimes Kol Advarim Ha'Ela." Right, Hashem said all of these dvarim. So the Mechilta makes it Rasha, and it says, right, I'm reading to you the Mechilta as quoted by the Maral at the beginning of Perek Lamed Aleph. B'dibur Echad Nemru Mashi'i Efsher Lebaser V'Dam Leimar Kach. Shenem Ravidav Lekimes Kol Advarim Ha'Ela. The Aseres Hadibres were said at once. What a human being can't. It were familiar with a more basic or limited such drasha, which we repeat every Friday night. Shamar v'zachar b'dibur echad. Shamar v'zachar were said in one statement. What does that mean? Right, in the first version of the Dibreis in Yisrael, it says Zachar siyam Hashabbos l'katshay. In the second version in Parshas Vaschanan, it says Shamar siyam Hashabbos l'katshay. So we say that there are two aspects: commemoration of Shabbos, positive things like Kiddush and Suda, and Shomer, observance of Shabbos, abstaining from Melacha, from the prohibited types of work on Shabbos. So two aspects taught in the two versions. Hashem said them at once. Hashem said them at once. Even though there are two aspects, and in a certain sense, two contrasting aspects. Right? Chazal say similar things. Right? They have a whole list of things that were said b'dibur. Right? It says, Leisasa kol Melacha, and Uviyam HaShabbos Nechvasim Neshona Tamimim. Right? Don't do work on Shabbos, but then it tells you to bring korbanos. Right? Don't marry two sisters, but then it says Yevama Yavayola, that the brother-in-law should marry the deceased. Right? So it speaks of that bedibur echad, which is like almost two contradictory aspects that are included in one. But here, the way Chazal are saying it is even more so, that the Aseres Hadibres were presented, you know, as one statement together, not parsed as different pieces, as 10 separate dibres, 10 separate statements. But kol advarim, it was all said together. A human being couldn't say it. A human being couldn't hear it. But hold on one second, I have a question. If they were said all together, then what do you have the pasuk then laying out the separate commandments? Sha'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aseres Hadibres V'chazer Apir Shem Dibur Dibur B'fnei Atzmei. There was a second pass. First, Hashem said the 10 dibreis as a package, together, simultaneously. And then he broke it down and conveyed each commandment separately. Says the Gemara, well, if that's the case, maybe it's not just the Aseres Hadibreis. Maybe it's everything, the entirety of Torah that was done this way. These 10 statements were made together, but the other commandments of the Torah were given separately. Lamer, and then the Mimer continues. What does it say? Hashem said all of these things, Lamer, right, to say. Usually when it says Lamer, we understand. Hashem says it to Moshe, and Moshe is then to Lamer to repeat it to the Jewish people. But here, do not pass go. Hashem was speaking directly to the Jewish people. Says the Gemara, the lamer was that the Jewish people would say something. What was that? They had to respond to the commandments. Shein emrim al hein hein v'alav lav. When Hashem said do something, they said yeah. When Hashem said don't do this, they said no. It was a revival meeting. You know, they went. They whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, whichever direction he said, they affirmed. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva said no. It wasn't so nuanced. Al hein hein. V'alav hein. Whether Hashem said do it, they said yeah. When Hashem said don't do it, they said yeah. Right? Ad kan. That was it. That's the way it is. Okay, so clearly there are two phases to this chazal. They're together in one pasuk. Right? They're together because they're darshaning one pasuk. Vayidaber Elohim es kol advarim ha'ela. Meirel b'nei Yisrael lemar. I think that's the pasuk, excuse me. I should do it with a chumash in front of me. But so he said, so the first is this idea of Hashem presenting the Aseres Hadibreis, and specifically the Aseres Hadibreis, together as one, and only later breaking it down. And the second is this issue about how the Jewish people accepted the Aseres Hadibreis, this nuance, machlokes, between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. Both parts the Maharal is going to address in this perek. Let's start with the first. And the Maharal gives the core of his explanation of this idea of all of them being said b'dibur echad in a couple of lines at the outset of the perek, and then spends time to explain it and to supplement it by other divrei chazal. So this is the abstract of the perek, of the, at least again the perek explaining the first part. Biur davar zeh ki elu aseres hadibros ruim hayu shiu nemarim b'dibur echad. The aseres hadibros were suitably to be delivered in one statement. The zeh, and the reason for that is ki atayra hi seder ha'olam, because the Torah is that which orders the world. The chol seder mekasher davar im davar, and everything which provides order connects the separate elements, connects one thing to another, achakol nasecha, till the whole thing becomes one. What's the idea? What's the aside which he is saying? Saying the bria for itself, the bria for itself is a collection of items, a collection of things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world. Ultimately, everything which exists in the world has to be seen as ultimately being for one purpose. The Torah is that which gives that purpose and gives that Seder, gives that order to the world, which gives everything. It's, if the Torah is the purpose of the world, then it is the unifying force around which everything else that exists gains its meaning. So the Torah, in that sense, is the great unifier, the great thing to bring together all of the separate and disparate elements of the Bria. As such, the Torah is Dibur Echad. It's one statement. The Torah is the unifying theory, the ultimate unifying theory of the Bria. And therefore, he says, that's why the Torah makes sense of Shabib Dibur Echad, not further disparate. Let's look at this a little bit. Let's try to just bring a couple of elements of parallels. Especially for some of you who learn with us the Pachad Yitzchak on Thursday night of Shabbos. So this is something which Nemra V'Nishnis, which is a repeated theme in the Pachad Yitzchak's Mamorim and Rav Huttner's Mamorim on Shabbos. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu got up to the sixth day, throughout the Bria, it says Hashem created something, and Hashem saw that it was good, and Hashem saw that it was good. When Hashem created man, right on the sixth day, excuse me one second, I'm going to get the Chumash. When Hashem created man, on the sixth day, he started by creating the animals, and it says v'hem of aremes etc. Vayichein, he made it vayaral kim kitayv, and he saw that it was good. Then he goes on, and it says nase adam etzalmenu kidmoseinu, we'll make man in our image, in our form, v'yirdu, and he will rule v'dgas hayom v'ech hashemayim v'avhem v'cholot v'chol aremes 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 over everything. And Hashem created adam etzalmoy, and he blessed him. Doesn't say right away, he blessed him, and he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, conquer it, rule over the fish, over everything. And then Hashem says, look, I've given you all these things to eat, take advantage of, and so on and so forth. And so it was. Hashem saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. So Rav Huttner notes that instead of it saying, just after the Bria of Adam, after the creation of man, and Hashem saw that it was good, it waits till the Bracha. And then it doesn't say Hashem saw that Adam was good. He says he saw everything that he had made that it was good. And the basic idea, to just cut to the chase without arichus, the basic idea that Rav Huttner says is, because man is the ultimate unifier of the Bria. Within the creations, we know that everything is created for man. Hashem just articulated in the creation of man that he will control everything else that exists in the world. Hashem articulates in the bracha, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. I'm giving you all of these different things on the levels of the Bria to eat them, to take advantage of them. Man is the one who is supposed to bring the entirety of the Bria together. As David HaMelech said in his words, Kol shata tachas raglav. You put everything beneath the foot, beneath man, beneath the control of man. So therefore, when Hashem creates the fish, Hashem could say that it's good. He creates the birds, he can say they're good. They're good for themselves. They're good for themselves. Each one is good on its own. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates man, now it's not just man as a good Bria standing for himself. Since man brings the entirety of the Bria together, the comment after man is created is Vayal Kimes Kol Asher Osa Vinei. It's all good. It's all good. Why? Because man is the unifier of the Bria. Shabbos is the unifier of the Bria. Right? You have the six directions of the 6 days of creation, and the seventh is in the middle. It brings it together. What's the seventh? What's the words of Shabbos? Vayichulu Hashemayim Boretz. Vayichalu Lekim Bayim Hashim Lachtei Asher Asa. What's that? A term of kol, of completion, of everything together. Of everything together. Right? We've explained at different times that Adam, right, Hashem created Behema in the beginning of the 6 days, and it says that he saw that it was good. Right? Usually he would say, and so was the end of the day. But remember, on Friday, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to do the work of Friday and the work of Shabbos, right? So then Hashem went and he created the work of Shabbos. What's the work of Shabbos? It's completion. Completion is Adam, right? Right? Adam is the completion of the Bria, altogether. Shabbos is the completion of the Bria, right? Again, like I mentioned, those of you who have studied with us, the Rav Huttner's Mamorim on Shabbos, right? So he, right? That's the whole notion of Shabbos, is bringing everything together to completion, to closure. And those days are, of course, very much bound up with Matan Torah. Matan Torah is, in fact, the fullest expression of Briyas HaAdam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says we're going to make man in our image, in our form, what does that mean? It doesn't mean the physical image of man, simply. What does it mean? It means the spiritual capacity. We call Tzelem Elohim. When was the spiritual capacity of Tzelem Elohim realized for man? So you have a Rashi, right, that says, it doesn't say Yom Haravi, it doesn't say Yom Hashlishi, it says Yom Hashishi. Why? Because this is actually a hint to a different Shishi. The Shishi be Sivan, the sixth day of Sivan, the day that the Torah was given. Because that's the day when man is completely created. That's the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that which we've been learning. Remember when the Maharal spoke about the necessity of something called Torah. Because in order to complete man, he has to give him his wisdom. He has to give him that peace. That completes the creation of man. And that, ultimately, is the unifier of the Bria. It's what brings everything together into a system and a sensible framework. Mitzvahs aren't disparate commandments, right? Those of you who are learning the Daf Yomi, right? What happened? They went and they distilled it. Bo Chavakuk, Bo David, Bo, right? Everybody came and they distilled the 613 down to this, till, right? Hamidon Alachas, till it was down to one thing. What's the idea? The idea is because what we're trying to do is we're not trying to reduce the Torah. We're not saying, you know, it's too confusing, all of these different things. We're trying to make you understand that the system is a whole. Even the Tayag Mitzvahs is 248 positive commandments. Wow, that's a long list. It's not 248 positive commandments. If I look at you, do I say, wow, you're a long list of limbs? No, you're an organic whole. Right? You're together. You're made up of 248 limbs. I wouldn't look at you and I say, oh, I see, you know, I see a pair of ears, I see a pair of eyes, I see a nose. Right? I would say, I see a person. I see a person. So when they came and they wanted to distill it, they wanted to make the limbs into a whole. They wanted it to be able to be perceived somehow. How can we see the Torah as a whole? And that's the whole purpose of the Torah, is to make everything together into one thing, to show it as being not all over the place, but to unify the elements into a system. And so says the Maharal, that's Oimek Divrei Chazal. When they say, HaKadosh Baruch spoke Chol Advarim Ha'ela, which means that on a certain level he first communicated all of the Torah in Luol, right? In words which couldn't be heard, right? It was all one statement, inseparable. because ultimately that is what the Torah is about. It's all one inseparable whole that's there to make the Bria into one inseparable whole, to be Mekasher Dovarim Dovar, to make sense of it, instead of it being pieces here, there, to bring it, to integrate its components together, to make them into one, to make the world into a system. That's Vayidaber Elokim es kol hadvarim ha'ela. That's the aside of the Maharal, which he says again in a couple of lines that you know to begin with. He goes on, I'll pause for a breath, anybody? Everybody okay? Yeah.
So this isn't, since you brought in Bereishis to this, I guess there's, I've heard that the concept that when HaKadosh Baruch created the world, he created everything at once, and then he broke it out into the ten Maamaros, or ten statements of creation. So is that just make it connected with Matan Torah, or is that just...
The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Hashem could have created with one statement, but he went and created in ten statements. So what does that mean? So in a sense, you're nicely pointing out that there's a parallel to that. There's a certain together and then breaking it down. And in Sfarim, the Ramchal writes about the idea of the Asar Mamoris, is that you understand that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself it's Echad, it's one, and then in order to have it appear in the world, it had to be broken down into separate statements, because that's the nature of the world. We'll get to look at that a little bit. But the parallel you're bringing is a nice and an appropriate parallel. So the thing is like this. So the Maharal goes on here, and he brings a medrash. He brings the more elaborate version of the medrash, which is less known, from a medrash which is called Isis Rabbi Akiva, which is a more esoteric and obscure medrash, where the letters of Rabbi Akiva, and his medrash fits with that title. You're more familiar probably with the more well-known Medrash Rabbah version of this, which we have discussed, I think, in this shir, at different times, which expresses the theme in a much more distilled manner. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah says, why did the Torah start with a beis? Start with a beis because it's a lashon of bracha, not with an aleph, which is a lashon of oror. The aleph felt bad. Hashem said, don't worry, I'm going to start the Aseres HaDibreis with an aleph, with Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Bereishis starts with Bereishis with a beis. Aseret HaDibreis, Torah, mitzvah, Shin Etzavah Yisrael, starts with an Aleph Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. The Isis Rabbi Akiva much more elaborately says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was coming to create the world, so then all the letters came and vied for the privilege to be the letter through which the world would be initiated. So what happened? So the Tav came in first, right? Even though the Tav is the last letter. The Tav came in first, and it said, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, create the world with me. Why? Because I'm the letter of Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, come on, I'm the man. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, sorry, but in Yechezkel, when it talks about being literally a marked man, right, it says, V'sveis HaTav, right, so it's a pasuk in Yechezkel, which the Gemara brings in a few places, in a couple of places. It says that you'll mark a sign, right, a letter, on the foreheads of the people, the ones who are marked men. And what was the letter? Right, so Tav, right, the Gemara says was a Tav, that they put a Tav on the forehead of the person. So, you know, not so good, right? Nice Torah, but not so nice to Tav. Shin came in. It was a letter which marked the person for death. When placed on the forehead, when in that Nevuah in Yechezkel, right, it marked the people for death. And it went through all the letters, each one arguing a positive reason and Hashem responding with a negative reason, until it got up to the letter Beis. And the Beis said, I'm Beis of Baruch Hashem Yoim Yoim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem. Come, welcome. Kadosh Baruch Hu decided to create the world with a base. And then the Aleph stood on the side, quiet, sort of shunned. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Aleph, why are you feeling, why are you so quiet? Why aren't you saying anything? The Aleph said, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, how can I say anything? I'm a single right? Right, you know, singles, right? They feel sometimes to the side, right? He says, I'm a single, right? Everything else is beis b'shtayim, right? The twos, multiples, they're great. I'm just one, alone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Al tisyore. He says, don't feel bad. You're the head of them all, because you're one, like I'm one. You're single, and I'm single, right? And the Torah is singular, right? And I'm going to use you to give my Torah to my people. As it says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Okay, so it's more elaborate, altogether, a more elaborate chazal. So what does Maral explain? So he says, look, you know, the world is created with a beis, because beis is a term of bracha. Right? In fact, as is well known, and as Maral notes here, what's the word, the root of bracha is borech. What's the gematria of borech? 222. The first letter of borech is the twos in single digits. The second letter is resh, which is twos in three digits. And the third, 200, and the third letter is chaf, which is twos in second digits, right? Bechar is also 222, right? The root of bechar, without a vav. Why? Because what does a bechar do? A bechar is the beginning of ribui. The firstborn is the beginning of ribui, the beginning of growth, right? The parents now have expanded to a next generation, right? So the whole word is a word of ribui of bracha. And the act of creation of the world is an act of ribui. It's an act of expansion. In fact, as we've discussed some time ago, we have a notion called Ein Oid Milvadoi. There's nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Atrei Sasek Hashem Hakim, Ein Oid Milvadoi. There's nothing other than Hashem. And then what do? We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Yesh Me'ayin. He creates something from where there could be nothing. There would be nothing other than Hashem. But then Hashem creates something else. That's ribui. The whole nature of bria, of creation, is an act of ribui, which is fundamentally an act of bracha, of growth, of expansion. Why does Hashem create the world? Because He wants that the toiv which He has alone should be there for something else. It's an act of ribui. It's an act of growth, of expansion, of giving. That's what the bria is. So he explains get into the nuances of the Chazal. He explains, you know, everything. You know, it's not like you won't find anything negative around the letter beis, says the Maral. You'll find negative things around the letter beis too. You'll find negative things around the letter beis. And, you know, sometimes we speak about ribui being a curse, right? We want to be me'ached, which we're going to talk about soon. But fundamentally, beis is the essence of bracha, which is what bria is about. Tuf, right? The letter tuf vied and it said, I'm Torah. Right, that's the one which he brings in. Tuf vied and said, I'm Torah, because Tuf is the last letter. The last letter is the tachlis, is the goal of everything. So he said, look, you know, create with me, I'm about the tachlis. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, but Tuf is also death. Because, you know, there's the ultimate end, and then there's also the ultimate end. Right? There's also the end of the Tuf, of the marked man for the grave. But there's ambiguity to everything. But bracha is spawning growth, which is the essence of the bria. Therefore he went with that. Now the aleph is the aleph of aror, the aleph of being cursed, but it's the aleph also of achdus, of unity, of singularity, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu says of his thing. And so explains the Maral, and this is really to the core of what we're speaking about here, is that the Torah, Mamar HaSinai, Aseres HaDibros, is about taking the bracha, the two, the multiple, the expanded and splintered world, and organizing it. Being makasher davar el davar, organizing it around its great unifying principle, which is the Torah. The Torah is one, it comes from Hashem who is one, it's for Yisrael who are one, it's to mold the world into one. So just as we found in Chazal the obscure notion of Kol Advar Meila, that everything that was said at Mamar HaSinai was in one statement, it was held together as one because it's the unifying theory. The first letter of the Aseres HaDibros, the creation of the Gilui Shechina of the Torah, is with an Aleph, which is one, to unify everything. To unify everything. Whereas Beis Breishis is Ribui, and that's the creation, which is a hidden thing, creation of physical things. Mamar Asina is to then bring that back and reattach it to Hashem Yisbarach, to unify it and not allow it to maintain a distinct and separateness, a distinct entity and a separateness. It brings it back together. That's the Aleph corresponding to that thing. And he says that's the idea. That's to be masada the whole thing together. And that's, this is why it's Aseres Hadvarim. Aseres Hadvarim, right? 10 commandments. What's 10? So we're used to it. This is a staple of the Maral's thinking. The way he expresses it here is in shorthand. Is Asara the Mispar Katan is one, right? You know, Mispar Katan gematria is that you knock off the zero, right? You figure what it adds up to by itself, right? So you know, just the units. You knock off the zero. So Chveis, if you have 14, the Mispar Katan is 5, because it's one group of 10 and then 4 singles, right? Every 10 is considered like 1. Right? Every 100 is considered like 1. Maral conceptualizes this in many places. The idea is, because what happens is, when you go 1, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10. When you get to 10, what do you do? Take out your pen, and you make a single. You make a line on your paper. Yeah, that's 1. To remember, not 1, but to remember 10. Right? 10 becomes a whole. And right, you allude before, Asara Mamaris Nivraelam, Asara Dairis, Asara Nisim, right? It's all tens, that perek, I mean the first part of the perek, because 10 is the ultimate bringing together the whole and making it into one. That's why Maral explains in many places, that's why we separate Maser, right? Because what happens is, what we're doing is, we're giving part of the whole, actually the thing which completes the whole, to Hashem. So Hashem's, it's all oriented, it's all organized around HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chelek, around Hashem's portion. 10 is 1. And that's why the Torah is presented as Aseres HaDibres. And that's why the Chazal found that the Aseres HaDibres were really the abstract of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. But Rav Sadia Goyen, Rashi cites him in Chumash, Rav Sadia Goyen wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs, which was a poem of the 10 Dibres, in which he found all of the 613 mitzvahs. You have to understand this. I mean, we'll have more about these things later in the Tiferes Yisrael. But Hashem appeared to the Jewish people at Sinai and he gave them 10 commandments. Right? It's like, you know, you're going to get your Sunday paper and it'll have a sample of shampoo. You know, like well, what's going on over here? You know, so partially you would say that way. Yeah. Well, Hashem converts the people. At Har Sinai, he gives them some mitzvahs, you know, he teaches some mitzvahs. But Matan Torah is already, you know, they converted, it seemed, before Matan Torah, right? Hashem informed them some things. What is it? But those 10 mitzvahs that we heard directly from Hashem, those 10 mitzvahs are the core mitzvahs. In fact, to some degree, the rest of the Torah is Idach Perusha, Zil Gemar, it's an expansion of these 10 mitzvahs. How exactly you do that is very complex. Even after you read through Rav Sadia Goyen's poem, it's still complex, right, to figure out how it really works so easily and elegantly. But that's what it is. The Aseres HaDibreis are, without Masha'ein HaPeh Yachal Lishmaya, Masha'ein Basar V'Adam Yachal Lachay, right, when we speak about Hashem saying all 10 statements in one statement, we say, a human being can't say that, a human being can't hear that. A human being could say 10 statements, the 10 Dibreis as they are, could hear the 10 statements as they are. That's saying the 10 is saying the one of the whole Torah, the organizing, unifying principles of the Torah. That's what's being done over here at Mamad Har Sinai. That's making the one of the world to correspond to the one above, and in that sense to bring it all together. Okay, that's the basic idea of what he has to teach here of Aseres HaDibreis Nemru B'Dibur Echad. The idea of Asara, the idea of them starting with an Aleph, all of these things is to present the Torah as a single, integrated whole, and more than that, as Maral explains, to present it as that which unifies and integrates and brings together the very disparate elements of the Bria as a whole. Ata echad, v'atayra shani naisim ta'ulu l'Yisrael achas. You are one, the Aleph, and the Torah that I'm giving to the Jewish people is one. Okay, that's the core first principle of the Maral. Questions, comments?
There's other numbers that are also a whole, like 40, right? like a mem saw in a mikvah in 40 years
yeah.
in a midbar.
This is the trickiest thing about the Maral's numerology, and I don't feel I have a command of it exactly. There are lots of things, as you say, that are holes. Right, four is a hole, arba kanfei soretz. Right, 40 is bringing that together. 40 of a mikvah, 40 days of Yetzirah Savlad, 40 days of Har Sinai, and everything else. There's 50, right, of the Sphira, right? There's 5 as being a whole, there's 7 as being a whole, there's 70 as being a whole, Shiva Yeshiva and Zekena. There are many different types of holes, and I can't explain to you, because I don't completely understand when he uses this one, when he uses that one, when he uses the other one. But the Asura is a very consistent one, and it's the most logical. And I was like, I just presented to you with this thing. You know, one of the Kuzari's proofs that man comes from one person, like the Torah says, is because wherever you go in the world, they use the decimal system. In other words, the counting with tens, right? They use that system. Now, again, I don't know, when you learn advanced mathematics, so they teach about the octal system, right? And all these other systems where you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, right? And 10 is 8, right? You know, it's like, because they want to confuse you, right? They do these things, right? Or whatever it was, you know, or even a system which where 12 is 10. You know what I mean? And they have all kinds of systems in advanced mathematics. But, you know, in buying things from the grocery store, right? In normal, you know, take off your socks, you know, we're gonna do some more counting. You know, it's a system of 10 that the whole world uses. Now you could say, oh, that's because people have 10 fingers, right? Right? That's the way it works, right? He also proves it from the fact that we have everywhere they go, you have 7 days in a week, right? Now somebody's going to find some place in the Amazon where they have a 4-day week, right? Right? But by and large, right? Everywhere it's a 7-day week, and it's less visible in terms of how that works, huh? It's 4 days, yeah.
4 days.
But they so he proves these things. But again, a 10 is natural. The 10 fingers, you know, gives you something to count. But it's a holy double. So whatever it is, proof or no proof, but the reality is that the 10 does become then a unit. It's a unit of 10, and you know that's one of the more basic ideas in the Maral's numerology, that you know, separate from the 4s and the 5s and the 7s and everything else, even 3 is a unifier according to Maral. I mean, it's so many different levels. I don't always understand. I usually don't understand how to choose.
Is he explaining here the Aseres Dibros alone, or is he explaining also the relationship between the word Anochi leading into it? In connection, is it both those together?
What he's doing is he's saying Torah, as given at Har Sinai, was a unifying theory. So we'll find the 10 Dibrois given in one statement. That's one expression of that. We'll find the opening letter of Anoichi in the Aseres HaDibrois being an Aleph. That's an expression of that. We find the fact that it's 10 Dibrois, right? Not the idea of 10 being said as one. That's just the fact that Hashem said it as one. The fact that it's a number 10, because 10 is ultimately one. That's another expression of that. All of these things are expressions of this idea that the Torah is one, and it's here to unify the Bria into one, to bring everything together. That's Eskol Asher Asah. Okay, that's the first theme that Maral develops here, and that's the one which he develops the most. Okay. Anything else? Any other questions, comments? Okay. So, there are a couple of other asides in there. We don't usually, as you know, cover every single detail which the Maral covers. One thing is a nice little tart retort to the Ibn Ezra, who, you know, the Ibn Ezra was a great rationalist and pshat, and he asked many times questions on Chazal's travels, you know, and things. And Ibn Ezra evidently had the time of his life with this Isis Rabbi Akiva about the letters vying for starting the Torah. He didn't like it very much. He had all kinds of questions about it, this letter, that letter. And the Maral doesn't like that. You know, Maral's whole life was about showing the meaning behind Divrei Chazal, and so he has some sharp words in retort to the Ibn Ezra for his comments about this statement of Chazal. But we will leave those, especially Erev Rosh Chodesh Av. The second segment of this perek is the second segment of the Chazal, which was about Lamar. The word Lamar used when Hashem spoke all of these things. What does it mean, Lamar? There was nobody that he was telling it to repeat it to anybody else, right? Hashem was speaking to all the Jewish people, as we asked. Usually Hashem speaks to Moshe, Lamar, no, first statement, we understand that. Speaking to Moshe, share this with the crowd, right? But here Hashem was speaking to the crowd. So what did the Gemara, what did the Chazal say? The thing was, it was for the Jewish people to respond. They weren't supposed to be passive, they were supposed to respond. Right? Again, the revival here. So what happens? So Hashem says, Rabbi Shmuel says, Hashem says, I'm Hashem your God. And Jewish people said, yeah. And Hashem said, don't serve other gods. And they said, no. Right? And Hashem said, don't bear Hashem's name in vain. No. Honor your father and mother. Yeah. Keep the Shabbos. Yeah. Right? So that was the way it worked. That's the way Rabbi Shmuel said. Rabbi Akiva said, no. Hashem said, I'm Hashem your God. The people said, yeah. Hashem said, there shouldn't be other gods. The people said, yeah. Hashem said, don't bear our name in vain. He said, yeah. On everything they said, hey. That was the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. What's the nature of this machlokes? What's the nature of this machlokes? So, the Maral says of pshat, and we'll perhaps suggest some additional pshat. The Maral says, is Tam Rabbi Shmuel, he tzarech shetia kabolas hagzera kasher hi etzem hagzera ba'atzma. The way the gzera is received, is accepted by the people, should be exactly like the gzera is given. Kasher hi etzem hagzera ba'atzma. Im hagzera lasais davar, kacha kabola lasais davar ze. If the gzera is to do it, so then you accept to do it. If the gzera is don't do it, then what you accept? You accept not to do it. If it says don't do it, then you don't do it. Rabbi Akiva says no. Ein kabos hagzera rak lekabel bilvad hagzera. Ti hagzera mashi hagzera. Rabbi Akiva says, the issue isn't what is said. The issue is, Hashem, you said it, I'll do it. Details are details. The issue is, you said it, I'll do it. In a certain sense, what the Maral is explaining here, what the Maral is explaining here is the machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva as the, really the two facets that we have in mitzvahs. And again, perhaps it's, I think I've spoken about with you guys before. It's certainly something which we've spoken about before. In every notion of mitzvah, you have two parts. You have the, you know, what some might want to define as the cheftza versus the gavra, as the object versus the person, or what we could describe more as the content of the mitzvah versus the fact that Hashem asked you to do it. Why did Hashem ask you to do this thing? Right, so we look to understand tamei mitzvahs. There's something about this that's wrong, or there's something about this that's right. There's a scheme to it. Maybe sometimes we can discern it, sometimes we can't. But we know that it's always there. Everything that Hashem gives us for a reason. So if Hashem tells you, don't eat this stuff, you know it's a good idea for me not to eat this stuff. If Hashem tells you, go ahead and do it, then you know it's a good idea for you to do it. That's a focus on the mitzvah as the action itself, the value of the action itself. But then there's something else, which is the mitzvah as Hashem asked you to do something. You have a connection with Hashem, and because Hashem asked you to do it, so therefore you do it because of the connection with Hashem. That in itself is a mechayev. And you know that there were even debates, at least the way the Rambam says it in the Maor Nevuchim, there were debates on whether there was even reasons for mitzvahs. Right? The Rambam in the Maor Nevuchim says that famous Gemara that we discussed at length much earlier in the Tiferes Yisrael, that opinion which says that when a person gets up, the Mishnah says, a person says gets up to daven, and he's improvising, and he says, Hashem, your mercy extends to the Kan Tzipor, to the bird's nest, so have mercy on us too. So what do we say? We shush him. Why do we shush him? Because he's making it as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs are rachman, they're merciful, when they're just decrees. Ve'ena melech zeres. So what does that mean? Right. So we had all kinds. Remember, we had major discussions about it. Maral spoke about it for a long time earlier in the Tiferes. However, the Rambam says in the Marin of Uchim, what's the idea? That Mishnah, or that explanation in the Gemara of the Mishnah at least, is going according to the opinion that mitzvahs have no rhyme or reason. That's what we're saying. There's such an obvious reason for sending away the bird, right? Well, some kind of mercy. But we say, don't say that. Because forget what the reason is. Hashem just told you to do it, do it. Which means what? It means don't look at the mitzvah for itself. You're doing it because you are having some kind of a connection, a relationship, a responsibility to the creator of the world. Whatever he says, you do. Whatever he says, you do. You know, if I'm your friend and I want to give you advice and I say, you know, I think it's a good idea for you to do this, right? You'll say, I don't know, I'm not sure, I'll think about it. If you decide that it makes sense for you, now you'll do it. Otherwise you won't, right? Maybe you'll say, oh, I trust his advice so much, I'll do it, whatever he says. Right? But then again, you're making a decision. It makes sense for you to do it, you'll do it. If your boss says, I want you to spend the afternoon organizing the paper clips from in various colors. I want the red ones in one corner and the yellow ones in another corner, right? And so on and so forth, or small ones and big ones, right? And you say, you know, I mean, it's like completely ridiculous. You know, even if you want to have small ones and big ones, I'll go to Staples, I'll buy a package of red ones, right? They'll be cheaper than organizing the ones that they have now. You're paying me $50 an hour, you know, it's right? Boss says, this is what I want you to do. You say, oh, let me think if it's a good idea, right? He wants you to do it, you do it. Right, you're doing it because it makes sense. I mean, ultimately, you would imagine that most of the time he'd ask you to do things that make sense. But it's besides the point. You're doing it because he asked you. So, according to some, the mitzvahs may not even. My Rebbe Zocher Levacha, Rabbi Weinberg, couldn't accept this. Right? He said, no, you got to reread the Maran of Uchim. Of course, it has a reason. Everybody holds questions whether you can see it or not. It's very hard to read the Maran of Uchim. Argued about this sometimes, but whatever it is, there's some aspect where you do something just because Azai is the Rebbeinu Shem Gehesim, that's what the Rebbeinu Shem said. Right? Doesn't matter if there's a reason for it, doesn't matter if there's a rhyme for it, doesn't matter anything. Hashem said it, that's why I do it. And that's the way it is in life sometimes, in our relationships. In a sense, that even separates itself in terms of mitzvahs. I'll give you a nice illustration of how it expresses itself, separates itself in terms of mitzvahs. This is an illustration I'd like to give this. There's a din in the Torah called Eshes Yifas Tayar. Jewish men go to war, sees in amongst the captives a beautiful woman, and he's desire for her. So the Torah gives an order about how he can take her for a wife. A forced convert that he's going to take for a wife because he saw her and she was beautiful and he was attracted to her. Right? Sounds very Torahic, no? Right, so the Gemara says, right, Ledibra Torah Keneged Yetzer Hara. I think the Mishnah says, Ledibra Torah Keneged Yetzer Hara. Right, the Torah speaks just to the Yetzer Hara. It knows what's going on over here. It knows that on the battlefield the guy's vulnerable. He's going to do it. Better we should find a way for him to do it kosher than have him rejected and do it puzzle. Okay, interesting also. Right, interesting thing also. But then what happens? The Torah says that in the beginning of Parshas Kisaitse, what's the next paragraph in Parshas Kisaitse? You have two wives. One of them you love, one of them you hate. Right? Then the next parsha is, you have a son who's rebellious, a Ben Seru Meira. Says Rashi, if you marry an Eshes Yifas Tayar, you're going to end up hating her. And you're going to end up having a Ben Seru Meira from her. So could you tell me something? So why does the Torah say that it's okay? So you understand that the Torah here is separating two things. In every mitzvah, there could be that the thing itself is bad. The Torah here is not putting a heksher on this and saying that it's good. It is bad. It is bad. But you know, if you'll take a chveis, you know, you'll take your great uncle to the doctor, right? And he smokes a pack of cigarettes every day, right? And right now he's struggling with chveis. You know, he has a major abdominal issue and he's sick and so on and so forth. You know, so you go to take him to the doctor. The doctor says he has to do this thing, he has to do the other thing. He says, and you know what? And he smokes a pack a day. You know what the doctor might say? The doctor might say, do me a favor. Right? Let him smoke a pack a day right now. By the way, I hate smoking. Okay, don't misread me, okay? Right? But he says, let him just smoke a pack a day right now. Oh, the doctor says it's okay. It's healthy to smoke. That's as healthy as smoke. He says, right now, this guy's whole life is going to be inverted for the next 6 months. He's got to deal with his abdominal issues. He's got to deal with changes of diet. He's got to deal with all kinds of things. There's only so much you can do at once. See, I'm not saying that it's healthy to smoke. I'm not saying he wouldn't get better, you know, in terms of the physiological issues if he's in smoking. But I can't do it to him. And, you know, the added stress and everything else will be its own factor. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't say it's nice to take an Eishes Yifas Tayar from the Goyim and force her to convert and marry her. He doesn't say it's nice. But he says, look, normally I ask people to do things. I ask people not to do things. And if they do it, or if they don't do it, you know, it's how they relate to me. I view it as, you know, are they in a I can't ask that of him now. I understand. It's not a Maisa Merida. It's not a rebellion for him to do this thing now. He can do it. It doesn't make it good. There's a separation between the two things. You know, the Mabit in the Beis Elokim says, the Gemara says that Bnei Noach, for every mitzvah that they're commanded, of the seven mitzvahs, they're chayav misa. They steal, pachas mishava pruta, they're chayav misa. A Jew, pachas mishava pruta, doesn't have to do anything, but even by mishava pruta, he has to pay it back, right? A guy is chayav misa, as rasan zuyim misa. What's pshat? What's the idea? Says the Mabit, this dichotomy, this separation, his every mitzvah should be chayav misa. Why? God told you to do something, and you rejected it. That's what we call merid b'malchus, right? If the king asked you to do something, and you said no, you're considered spurning the king. Chayav misa. So malchus shamayim is any less, Hashem is any less. Every mitzvah should be chayav misa, and that's why Bnei Noach, for any mitzvah that they transgress, they're chayav misa. So why by Jews isn't that? Because Jews have 613 mitzvahs. Right? It's impossible, right, to be able to be so, right, to stay away from stealing and killing and committing adultery and tearing limbs from a live animal. That's a tough one, I know. But it's staying away from these things, you know, it's finite. You can handle it. Right? 613 mitzvahs is much more complicated. And so, it says, my bit for Klal Yisrael, Hashem said, I'm not going to punish you based on the rebellion factor. I'm going to punish you based on the mitzvah itself. If the mitzvah itself, forget the rebellion factor, that sounds like the machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Shmuel, Hashem gave us a mitzvah, we listened to this, we said, yeah, we'll do that. We won't do that. They responded to the mitzvah based on the content of the mitzvah. According to Rabbi Akiva, that's not the point. The point is Hashem said to us something. So forget what it is. Hashem said, we say yes. Hashem said, we say yes. We don't look at the content of the mitzvah. The ikar of the mitzvah is the mitzvah. Hashem said this to me, and therefore this is what I do. Right? Seves, right? You know, right? Mitzvahs from Lashon Seves, which is pairing, right? Coming together.
Why is it not the first seven? Why are we should keep that like the B'nai Noach, and then the rest of them like that?
Because it's one system. It's one system. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, for the B'nai Noach, this is the system, Merida. For the Jews, we can't use that system for everything, so we're not going to use it for anything. Instead, for Jews, it gets broken down this way. That's the way the Beis Elokim explains it. There are other explanations, but that's his explanation. It's an illustration of this separation. And that's the way the Maral explains the Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. I would just be maisif something, which I think, you know, you can hear between the lines here in this Chazal. Appropriate for the period of the year which we're in, 3 weeks. On that day, Hashem will be one and His name will be one. So the Gemara says, we've learned this Gemara countless times. On that day, His name will be one and one. Now Hashem's name isn't one. Now Hashem isn't one. Says the Gemara, that's right. Now, for good things, you say Hatev HaMetiv. For bad things, Lo'elenu, somebody says Dayan HaEmes. Lo'elam Abba, and everything the person is going to say Hatev HaMetiv. So now we perceive Hashem in two ways. Sometimes good things, sometimes bad things. Right? Sometimes Hashem is with Din, sometimes Hashem is with Chesed. Lo'elam Abba will see everything with Toiv, everything with Chesed. That's Hashem Echad. Rabbi Akiva, as you know, confounded this Gemara. Rabbi Akiva was the one of B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafshecha, B'chol Mi'aydecha. Yotzei Nishmasei Be'echad. Rabbi Akiva saw the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and what did he do? He laughed. He heard the sounds of Rome thriving, and what did he do? He laughed. he was being killed by the Romans. And what did he do? The Gemara says, he laughed. Yerushalmi says. Well, we know that he said Shema. So you would think he's saying, oh, Shema, 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 right? Right? Then Yerushalmi says, he was laughing and he was saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad. Yerushalmi and Brachas. Rabbi Akiva, his theme was, Kol ma de aved rachmana letav aved. He lost his chicken, right? Remember the story in the Gemara? He says, it's good. He lost his candle, it's good. He lost his donkey, it's good. Right? He knew it was all good. And then it was good. Rabbi Akiva was a chod now. Hein v'lav. Right? Experiencing the Torah as mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs lois asay, as positive statements and prohibitions, are to some degree this dichotomy. The Maral says, not the Maral says, the Ramban says that mitzvahs asay are avas Hashem, and mitzvahs lois asay are yiras Hashem. Ramban says in Parshas Yisroel, mitzvahs asay are love of Hashem. You do something for Hashem. Mitzvahs asay is I can't do this. Fear of Hashem, restriction. Right. Atoiva Ametiv is Ava. Dynamis is Yira. So therefore, standard is to experience it. There's some things Hashem says where you say love, yeah, no, no, restriction. And some things where you experience Hashem says hang, yes, positive. But Rabbi Akiva's whole metzias was there was no negative. There was no din. To him he laughed with din. He was mekabel everything with Ava. So Rabbi Akiva says, no matter what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there at Maamad Har Sinai, on everything we said, Hain, yes. This is an expression of the ultimate unifying theory of Rabbi Akiva. You hear? I think there's a lot of emes in it. Okay. Questions, comments? That's it for today. Yet Hashem, next time, Perek Lamed Hey, it's the last Perek in Chelek Aleph. I don't know if it justifies Fleishigs for the 9 days, but nevertheless.
If you go according to the opinion that everything is, you do everything because of the Kriya of Hashem, not because of the Hidden Mitzvah, then does that mean you can't have anything like, you can never do like a Hidden Mitzvah? Because it seems like, if you're not looking at the reason of the Mitzvah, how can you say, I'm going to do over and beyond, I'm going to do a Kriya or something like that? It's just like, this is what it is. You don't know why you have to do.
That's a good question.